You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
One of my favorite passages. There's so much to preach out of this.
One of my favorite things.
You shall know that the Lord is God.
The angel said to her,
but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian.
My two favorite stories in all of the Bible are the golden calf and the story of the spies.
And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Greatest hits.
One of my favorite stories.
The greatest hit.
All right, yeah. Well, good morning. It's good to see you and to be in worship together, whether you're in person or online. We're glad that you're with us. And you might be wondering why we sang Joy to the World first thing. Actually, it's not a Christmas hymn, even though that's when we usually sing it, but also we are in this series on greatest hits, and what we're doing is singing the songs that you ask us to sing. And a lot of people requested that, and so by golly, we did it. It also fits really well with what I want to share with you today, as do the other songs, so it was really nice how all that fit together. So you got a lot more fun things coming this series, and if you haven't already submitted your favorite hymns, you can do that, because we will sing them, I promise. Yeah. So we love big in America, don't we? We love big. We love big houses. We love big TVs. We love big meals. We love big cars. We love large coffees. Yep. We love large sodas. The bigger, the better. And sure, it's fun. Who doesn't love watching a movie on a great big giant TV screen? It's nice to have a big roomy car, too, when you travel or when you're hauling kids or when you're hauling stuff. It's nice to have that house you've always dreamed of. But here's a question. Does it actually satisfy? There's not necessarily anything wrong with having things, but is there ever enough? Just get this, just win that, just do this. And on and on and on. Is it ever enough? Our culture tells us that there's always the next thing, that next thing, and then we'll be happy. Our scripture today stands in stark contrast to that, though, to that view of satisfaction. Today we're going to look at Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8, and I invite you to read this along with me. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Now, many of you know that I love the outdoors. It's just about my favorite thing. I go camping and hiking as often as I can, and I love to get my hands in the dirt when I'm working in my garden or when I'm on my yard mowing or doing other yard work. I've been known to pick up a big handful of dirt and just smell it. I know, it's funny. I love to be in my backyard and hear the birds and smell the air. Just being outside, it refreshes my soul and it helps me feel especially close to God. And maybe that's why I love this psalm. It's one of my favorites. I really relate to the imagery. It's so vivid, isn't it? To be outside when everything is lush and beautiful, when things are green and growing. It's amazing. But when the earth is parched and dry and cracked, when the plants and grass are all dried out, when they look withered and desperate, when you think they might really be goners, that's a different story. You can just feel the earth's plea for rain. And then it does. The rain comes down, and you can see the ground soaking in the water. You can even hear it making little satisfied gurgling sounds if you listen. You can almost watch the trees and the plants revive. You can almost feel their relief. The desperation for nourishment and the relief and the satisfaction at receiving it, the revival at seeing it. Can you see it? This beautiful psalm that David wrote when he was hiding from King Saul in the Judean wilderness, it's absolutely filled with beautiful imagery. It's also a beautiful devotional piece. Have you ever thought of it that way? It shows us a very personal conversation between David and God. David is just chatting with God. He's speaking to God directly. He's declaring his need and also his satisfaction. David, this man who is after God's own heart, telling God what's on his heart. And even while this psalm describes David's thirst for God, I believe it also describes ours. It's each of us longing, seeking, thirsting. Thirsting and sometimes needing to be reminded where our satisfaction actually comes from. And we need that reminder, don't we? We live in a country that loves big, loves more, does more, spends more, competes more, plans the next bigger adventure. We watch HGTV or the Travel Channel and we hunger for things we didn't even know were possible. And then we get it, and we have it, and we do it. But how do we feel? Sure, it's fun for a while, but are we actually satisfied? Or do we still feel a hunger? Are we still thirsty? Now, don't get me wrong, all those things are good. They're nice. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. But we have to ask ourselves, what's the motivation behind it? Do we constantly compare ourselves with our neighbors or our friends or home improvement shows and feel inadequate? Do we feel the anxiety of having to keep up? And what about this? Do we love God with the same zeal that we love big salaries, big sales, big accomplishments, big portfolios? Do we hunger and thirst for God the way we do for tickets to a good sports game? We may devotedly save for retirement or vacation, and those are good and important things to do. But do we seek God with the same regularity, the same intensity, the same focus, the same sense of purpose? Do we hunger for God so deeply that our stomachs growl? Our appetites for the things of this world can be pretty robust. How do our appetite for God compare? You know, I think we have to confess that sometimes our enthusiasm for God can actually be pretty small, pretty mediocre, especially when we contrast it with the delight in God that we discover in this psalm. In this psalm, David is not simply interested in God or respectful of him. I like God. He's good. I like God. Rather, David craves God the way a coffee drinker or a Diet Coke drinker craves that first sip in the morning. The longing for God is so intense that he experiences it physically. God, it's you. My whole being thirsts for you. My entire body desires you in a world that's dry and tired. Something else I love about this song is the complete joy we hear throughout it. Even when David is expressing this profound longing, the psalm radiates complete and utter joy. Like a child riding a bicycle down a steep hill, like holding your newborn baby, like playing golf on a beautiful day. The joy in this psalm is as palpable as the imagery, isn't it? I have seen you in the sanctuary. I have beheld your power and your glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. I will praise you as long as I live. In your name, I'll lift up my hands. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast. You have been my help. I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. The psalm is truly beautiful, isn't it? And as beautiful and joy-filled as it is, I believe that it challenges us too. It challenges us to think about what we desire the most, what we long for the most, what we go after the most. In a world filled with competition for our affections, for our allegiance, for our energy, for our love, this psalm challenges us to cultivate gusto for God, to actually nurture and foster our love for God. It challenges us to develop our hearts and to hone our desires until we find, as did that early church Saint Augustine, that our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. Unfortunately, we sometimes desire the wrong things. More often, though, perhaps a better way to say it is that we want good things in bad ways. We want some things too much, and we desire other things too little. What we actually need to do is moderate our desire for some things and increase our desire for God. And that's where Psalm 63 comes in. It centers our soul. It directs our desire. God, it's You I'm searching for. My body desires You in this dry and weary land where there is no water. What I need can't be found by looking at what's around me. What I need is You, and with You I'm fully satisfied. Satisfaction in God, joy in God, we need them. We can't find true satisfaction anywhere else. And you know what? It's what our hearts are actually longing for. We can't be truly satisfied any other way, and there is great joy, true joy, actual joy. Now, let me ask you a question. Maybe you hear what I'm saying and you believe that what Scripture says is right. You know that it's true. But are you maybe afraid that you don't want it enough? Are you maybe afraid of letting go and releasing control? Are you afraid of letting God in that much? Maybe you're afraid that you don't really want God the way that David talks about in this psalm. Well, let me assure you, God invites us to start with whatever longing we do have, whether we genuinely desire to know and enjoy God more, whether we even want to desire such a thing, or whether we just know that all we know is discontent and restlessness and boredom, or that we're at a breaking point. God takes us where we are. God works with what is, even the smallest of desires, even if we just want Him this much. When we ask Him, God will work with whatever desire we do have, and He helps us cultivate it and grow it until it turns into this feast of praise and joy and satisfaction, the way that David describes it. You know, the Psalms are actually an amazing collection of poetry. Someone once told me years ago that they thought it was a sin to be angry at God, and that they had been wrestling with this for quite some time. That emotion of anger was there, but they couldn't bring themselves to confess it, even as they knew that God knew their heart, and they were so torn. And what was my response, do you think? I asked them this: have they ever read the Psalms? Because when you read the Psalms, you know that God knows our wants. God knows our desires. God knows our weaknesses. He knows our needs. He knows our anger. He knows our joy. God knows. The psalm reflects our human condition at its strongest and at our fullest joy and praise. The psalms also speak to the depth of our sorrow, to the depth of our fear, the depth of our anger. They speak to our joy. They speak to our desire for revenge. They speak of God and to God in thanksgiving, in honesty, in our asking, in our pleading. And the Psalms, they're honest too, sometimes gut-wrenchingly so. They're an integral part of the dialogue between humans and God. They show us a God who is forgiving, a God who is gracious, a God who is willing to help us. And they also show us a God who is righteous, who's merciful, who's faithful. God made us. God knows us. God knows the answer to our deepest need. He is the answer to our deepest need. So, big. Who needs big? The only big we need is a big desire for God. Ultimately, the only true satisfaction we will ever find comes from closeness with God. It's actually an understatement to say that the satisfaction experienced in finding God in the wilderness of our lives far exceeds the satisfaction of the most lavish banquet, of the biggest anything that this world can offer. In finding God, we experience His power and His glory. David had experienced His power and glory in the past, and the wilderness intensified his desire to know once again the presence of God and God's power and God's glory. When David wrote this psalm, he had been stripped of all external comforts, all safety, all security even, and in the wilderness, he knew what his ultimate priority and his ultimate need was. David knew that God's unfailing love was all that really mattered. He knew that God's love is more precious than life itself. He knew that our souls find no greater satisfaction in life than when they drink deeply of the love of God. In finding God, our thirst is quenched. Now, through this psalm, the Holy Spirit teaches us to search for God all the time, even when we find ourselves in the wilderness of life. We can believe that God's power, God's glory and love and help are there, even when we can't see evidence of them. As verse 8 says, our souls can cling to Him, knowing that His right hand is holding us securely. So I ask you, what are we seeking? What are we thirsty for? Are we willing to accept the only thing that will truly satisfy us, the only thing that will truly quench our thirst? David was a man after God's own heart. David was thirsty for God, and with that profound longing came a willingness and a desire to be open to God. We can hear his complete joy and contentment. Do you hear it? I've seen your glory and your power. Your faithful love is better than life itself. I am fully satisfied. My whole being clings to you, and your strong hand holds me. The psalm, it invites us to measure ourselves not by worldly standards, but by what goes on in our souls, in our deepest being. And it challenges us to develop a passion and an enthusiasm for God, to start with whatever desire we do have for God and to cultivate it. Are you thirsty for God, even just a little? God can work with that. God will work with that. Do you long for true satisfaction and true joy? Then start where you are. Open yourself to God, and God will meet you there. Open your arms wide. Lift them up to God. Let God's satisfying rain pour down on you. God is waiting for you. Let's pray. You, God, are our God. Earnestly we seek you. We thirst for you. Our whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. We have seen you in the sanctuary, and we have beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, our lips will glorify you. We will praise you as long as we live, and in your name we will lift up our hands. You satisfy us as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, our mouths will praise you. When we rest at night, we remember you. We think of you all through the day and all through the night. Because you are our help, we sing in the shadow of your wings. We cling to you. Throughout this journey, your right hand upholds us. Thank you, God. Amen.